Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 667, the number after the beast. I will be performing with my good friend April Richardson tonight, the 24th in Columbus, Ohio of April, and then tomorrow night, the 25th in Atlanta. And the first shows, I believe, are sold out, but the late shows, the 10:30 shows, still have a handful of tickets available. The following weekend will be in Boston and New York at the Wilbur Theater and the Best Buy Theater, respectively. Same thing. Late shows have tickets. Go to funcomfortabletour.com for tickets and info on that. Katie, what else is happening in the Nerdist Community Corkboard?
Submissions are open for Snake Alley Festival of Film. The deadline is May 1st, so that's next week.
So do you have to be a snake to enter?
I think you can be a human.
Okay.
That'd be cool if it was movies just made by
snakes. Do you have to be in House Slytherin?
Yes, you do. You have to be very evil.
You have to speak Parthel tongue.
Yep. The festival is August 6th through 8th in Burlington, Iowa. They're taking short film and screenplay submissions. And you can find out more information about that at snakealleyfestivalofffilm.com. And there's a band in Denver called Daenerys and the Targaryens. It's a Game of Thrones themed punk band.
I would think it would be.
And they have Game of Thrones screenings at a bar every Sunday with cosplay contests, giveaways, music, and like a lot more Game of Thrones stuff.
All right, Daenerys and the Targaryens, please write a song called Drogo He Didn't. Please. I'll give you $10.
It's at the Armory in Denver. So I guess just go there. It starts at 6 p.m. Every Sunday.
All right, great. This episode is Thomas Middleditch, whom I ran into at breakfast today. There's a diner I go to all the time, and he goes there sometimes. And because I'm there all the time, if I'm eating breakfast, so I had a short breakfast with him. I was finishing my breakfast, and he was waiting for someone else. But I love Thomas Middleditch.
He's so great.
He's great, and I think I convinced him to do. We're doing beta tests Monday night at Meltdown at 9 p.m., and I think I convinced him to do it.
Oh, he's so funny. He has the best stories. I like the stories he does.
Well,
he does
Silicon Valley. Thank the Heavens is back, season 2, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. on HBO or on HBO Go or the on-demand HBO Now.
Mm-hmm.
So watch it, support it.
It's great.
It's one of the best comedies on television, and please watch it so they will keep making these shows. This episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible.com is the place for audiobooks. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from every category imaginable. Go to audible.com/nerdist for a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook. If you're still not convinced, here's why it's worth your time, all right? You're going to get books with well-known narrators like Lena Dunham narrating Not That Kind of Girl, or Tim Curry reading Bram Stoker's Dracula, or Amy Poehler reading Yes, Please, featuring Amy Cara Burnett, Seth Meyers, and more, or our pal Will Wheaton narrating Lock-In. So go to audible.com. You're going to find something that you want. And honestly, you're going to get through a book a lot faster if you can stick it in your ears instead of listening to the same playlist that you listen to over and over again. So go to audible.com/nerdist today and sign up. Thanks to Audible for sponsoring this episode of Nerdist Podcast number 667 with Thomas Middleditch.
Now entering nerdist.com.
You're doing him a disservice.
What do you want to take money out of my pocket?
You're just making more work for her.
I don't want you to have your podcast money taken out of your pocket.
Yeah, what are you trying to do? Steal my money? I've had
Matt, get off him. Don't take his money.
I've had enough of that, Obama.
He's not here right now. Who are you?
No, Obama.
Well, he's right here behind this door.
Oh, Thomas, I understand you have a problem. Oh, that's no good.
I just bailed on that right away.
President Barack Obama.
I just bailed on that.
It wasn't the worst I've ever heard.
It was not the good.
No, it wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
But it wasn't the worst I've ever heard.
My name is President Obama.
Whoa. I think really and I own an oil rig down here in Texas.
Bad impressions. I'm actor Nicolas Cage, and I am running for Senate. And then you can put him in the right situation.
The general election, 2014. You got a Chewbacca case.
I do. You going to sign that book when we all done? Yeah, I know. Well,
and when you open
you
it,
woke
it
him up.
Noise.
You woke up Chewbacca.
Doidle, doidle.
I think there might be an R212 that goes.
All right.
Well, we're gonna be out of book space pretty soon.
We almost are out of book space. This book is almost filled with signatures from people who've been on the podcast.
Oh goodness!
There's about 20 signatures left before it's full.
Wow. And we're gonna donate the proceeds from selling this book to me.
We're not gonna do that. Oh. So that you can go buy a guitar.
I would love to.
You got your eye on that new guitar.
Yeah, sure do. Sure do.
You're like Wayne from Wayne's World.
When you did the podcast with Craig, was at that time were all my guitars in the other room? Like in the dining room when you did the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, there were a lot of guitars.
I need more.
Well, he's even gotten more since then.
I have.
How many guitars do you think you own?
I own 30-something.
Why?
The series?
Yes, I own the rights to 30-something.
Oh,
I negotiated
that's where all the guitar money's coming.
I've traded guitars for the rights to 30-something. It's a very obscure loophole.
Guys, I am just trying to sell that to get Lala.
Do all these guitars have significant significance, or are they just like, I like the look of that one?
Well, I'm left-handed, so I buy them when I see them because they're hard to find.
They're premium.
Yeah, it's like... I'm never going to see that again.
But it's like, but Johnny Rotten.
No, it's
on
more
this.
Like, I wish it were that cool. It's more like hey. Dave Matthews looked at this in Minneapolis once.
Hey,
and
he said, no,
hey.
I'm right-handed.
What?
I can't
hey.
Play.
Hey, feelings get...
Stop it.
Words have... Barb.
Hey, you're saying that like that would be a bad thing, and I personally love Dave Matthews.
I think that would be a great thing. In fact, Christopher, I own a Dave Matthews signature Taylor.
It's true. You do. Well, Dave Matthews has probably sold more albums than John Lydon, I would imagine.
Oh.
Probably by a lot.
Lots, yeah. They probably got to be up at the 100 million level right now.
You think Dave Matthews is at 100 million?
They've had 11 albums. Katie, research it.
Google.
Catherine!
How many albums Dave Matthews has?
Yes.
But you would know.
How many
can you
sold?
Name all of them?
No, I wouldn't know. Yes, I can name them all.
Okay, well then you would know.
But I don't know how many each did according to Billboard.
I'd be surprised if they sold 100 million. That's a lot of albums.
Hundo Milo?
A Hundo Milo.
Hundo Milo.
I don't know, man.
That's Garth
how
Brooks.
How many they've sold. Yeah. Correct, yeah.
This is back in the days when albums meant something.
When you get to listen from start to finish.
Yeah. That does not count all the people eating pot brownies in the parking lot swapping discs. This
Ooh.
Is how many were paid
That's
for.
That's not
by...
the only thing they swapped. Am I right? Herpes.
Herpes.
Herpes. What up? Herpes. What? Where are my herpes at?
Room right here. Yeah. Thomas Middleton.
What's up, Herpes?
We're doing pretty good, you know.
Cool. You been to any cool concerts?
Yeah, you know, just trying to network like we do.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, by the way, give me your business card. I'll pass it out.
Oh, sure. Here you go. I'm glad we had these tiny Herpes business cards made up. These are on Moo cards.
Over 30 million.
Okay,
that's close to 100.
That's
no,
it's pretty close.
Half, really.
Pretty close to 100.
30%
you guys.
Of a hundo.
30%. If you got 30% on a test, you would not pass that class.
Oh, yeah, but a dismal fail.
But it'd be like you tried, bro.
Nah, I would
Good
say that's
job.
Not trying.
Good job. Good job by you. Whoa!
More years.
It must be up to 30 million and 10,000.
Yeah, they must have had a couple of banner 2012s.
I mean, considering how album sales have skyrocketed since 2010, I could be double.
You don't know what the Under the Table and Dreaming 25th Anniversary vinyl sold.
What?
No, that's the only number you
Why
can find.
Why are they trying to shield us from...
The truth about how great the David John Matthews is.
Oh, I don't want your hands.
Was Ants March... Was... Okay, so for those of you listening at home, Matt just took a drink while singing Dave Matthews and dumped it down the front of his beard and shirt.
Guys, just taking a trip, you know? The water's
man.
Just taking a trip.
Just taking a trip down Wino Lane.
Yeah, man, far out.
Yeah, man.
It's okay, it's a dry fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, wicks away the moisture. It's very important.
Yeah, man, it's a synthetic microfiber, man.
Yeah, man. Space.
Be dry in no time.
Space.
That is the weird thing about having a giant beard is like you get out of the shower and you forget that this under part of your face
water.
Needs to be
dried.
So you put on a shirt and then you look somewhere and immediately Just looks like you sweated it's through your shirt.
It's a face sponge. You have a giant face sponge on it. I mean, Middleditch isn't going to have to... That beard's not going to trap water yet. It's not in water trapping.
Are you going for a water trapping beard?
I'm not going for a water trapper. I'll have to get rid of it before it gets anywhere close to water trapping.
You just looks like a trapper.
Yeah. It's just like a trapper keeper.
A trapper keeper. Are you... So, Silicon Valley comes back April 12th. Is that right?
12th.
April 12th.
Yeah.
And so you're done. You've been done shooting for a while.
Like a month.
What do you do when you're not shooting Silicon Valley?
Well,
tell us, walk us through it.
Well, days after began shooting like a little indie film, finished that, then farting around. I'm promoting the show, and also I'm on Twitch now, you know, Twitch.tv.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Twitch streaming television.
Twitch streaming television
on the internet.
TV.com. /the streams, and trying that out, which is totally weird.
What are you twitching? What are you playing?
I just started, and I really like Total War. Uh-huh. If you know that game on the PC, Total War Attila. So I've been doing a lot of that. Might do some snipey shooty games later.
Snipey shooties.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I just bought a PC. For gaming purposes, yes. I bought the...
Welcome to the dark side, my friend.
Well, I was a PC guy for most of my young life. I had a Mac in the 80s and then a PC through all of the 90s, through the dark times of Apple.
Yes.
And then I did not switch to Mac until 2008, I think.
Oh,
2007,
wow.
2008. I was PC up until 2008.
You're a late adopter.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to let it go.
And wow. Hey man, I love Windows. I love my Windows.
You know, I will tell you this: I bought the laptop. I bought was a Razer Blade.
It's called a Razer Blade.
Chris, did you get duped and someone sold you a tiny Motorola phone?
Yo, but check out how thin it is.
It's very hard to game when I have to hit the number 9 3 times to get the correct.
Yes, 100%.
The Razer makes. Like they make a
got all the cool
mouse.
PC games like Snake
and Minesweeper and Oregon Trail and Prince of Persia, you know, all the good stuff.
Oh yeah.
King's Quest is another fun one, but it's Windows 8, and I have to say the touchscreen on the computer is great.
Yep.
And I like the interface of Windows Mobile, and it's not it for a while. PCs were trying to basically just like, everything's got to be touch now. So they tried to like retcon old Windows into just touchable.
Windows 8 on the release was pretty hard to deal with, but 8.1 genuinely fixed a lot of stuff. I hear, rumor has it, Windows 10 will knock your socks off.
I like my socks on.
No.
I don't like socks
on
my feet.
What? Once they're off, you don't want them back on.
Wow,
trust
me. I don't know if I'm ready for this kind of a maneuver, but I will say that...
That's Gil Gates.
Yeah. Trust me. You want your socks off.
Oh, Gil,
pushing
that Windows, huh?
Oh, baby, Windows 10. I love this company.
But you don't work here.
Oh, but I wish I did.
That's not proof of anything, Bill's sir. Dumb brother, Gil.
Bill, you know what we should do? Nothing. Because you have nothing to do with this. We're half brothers. It's those improvs where someone basically is assigning all the information to the other person. We may be half brothers, and we may share a father. That disappeared when you were young. It's like, well,
but this police station can't run itself.
All right, scene, I guess, says the other person.
So you're both going to have to take over.
Good day. And he just leaves the person on stage. Are you doing any improv stuff?
Yeah, doing some comedy shows at UCB. This Saturday, me and old Ben Schwartz, we're going to get up to a two-man
funny
improv
man.
Hour. Then Sunday, if you're around... Go to UCB for a video game competition show that I host.
Nice.
Oh. Very fun. Audience members come up. They play video games. We get rowdy. We give prizes called the Extreme Gaming Championship.
That's just like Starcade,
Yo,
if you
bro.
Remember that game from game show from the 80s.
where
kids would get up and play like Defender and Asteroids against one another.
Nick Arcade also.
Yeah. Nick Arcade also had that as well.
Yeah, it's way more extreme. It says it in the title, Extreme Gaming Championship.
Okay, so ours it's like, not just the gaming championship.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme.
Okay, so
is
you
MLG
take
certified. I'm a,
you take
look,
a regular.
Dana White's looking into it.
Everything. Dana White's looking into it.
It's a literal kill screen. I have to say, Silicon Valley is,
I've ever seen.
It is one, I think it is one of my favorite comedies of all time. Not even just like comedies on television.
Really?
Seriously. That show was funny from minute one and didn't, there was never any like, oh, we got to figure out what the show is. Like everyone came in super strong characters. Super funny, and it's the show's fantastic.
Excellent. Very slimy of you to say. Thank you so much.
But
I like that. Thank you.
I was very proud when we were I got to go to the Emmys, and then you guys were right down the row, and all there, and we're all there, and it just was nice.
I know. Had that been have you been to the Emmys before? On
not in
occasions?
Any official capacity. I went in like
you went unofficially
in 2009. I didn't have any reason to be there.
You went, but you went stacked on two other people with a big long overcoat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. We were disguised as Conan.
You're on two child actors.
Yeah, it was me and Jonathan. And Taylor Thomas.
Cool. And, how's JTT doing?
He's doing better.
Okay. Wait, what happened?
Well, he was on Home Improvement.
Yeah, which
that's
is
what
a,
happened.
The show holds up. I challenge you to say otherwise.
Yeah, it was me and JTT and Ashley Johnson.
Oh, bless her.
Who was on the Growing Pains after when they added a.
Yep.
They went from one season to another season, and somehow a baby turned into a child, and no one else aged, which was kind of a weird jump.
I remember being weirdly attracted to her when I was that age.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. allow me to finish
yesterday.
The sentence.
Yesterday.
Yesterday when I caught a rerun.
No! yeah, so it's pretty great that Mike and you guys had the freedom to make a show that was actually funny that didn't get ruined by someone.
Well, I mean, you know, all credit to HBO for letting that happen. It's been a true dream, a real caught the white whale scenario where I've suddenly managed to squirm my way onto HBO and then be on a show directed by Mike Judge with Alec Berg and then also be on it with friends like TJ, Kumail, Zach, and Martin and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I had a meeting recently with a tech company, and there was a guy who was so much Zach's character, like identical.
Yes.
Tall guy, very neatly pressed.
Yep.
That same kind of like very, very thoughtful and very, very sincere, and everything was very earnest and supportive and very organized. Like yeah. He, like that guy. Mm-hmm. I feel like that guy exists in a lot of places.
100%. I bizarrely found myself at a party this last weekend at the guy who invented Minecraft's house.
Oh my God, that house must be something.
If you've read the news, it's made the news because he beat out Jay-Z and Beyonce for buying it. It's one of, if not the most expensive house in Los Angeles.
And it looks like an 8-bit enterprise. And it floats over.
But it took like only 2 hours to build.
Yeah, seriously.
And it was a part of it, you know, it was fun. I had a good time, and I don't mean to throw anyone under the bus, but it was part of it was like living in my own show. Like there was like a DJ, but there was only like 20 people there. A lot of crazy expensive stuff that not everyone knew, like the real weight of it all. Like there are these like incredibly rare mopeds in the garage, and they like just didn't know what they were. And it's like, okay, wow. I will to have billions.
Was this house like in the hills?
Yeah. Beverly Hills.
I think I went to that house for a thing right before the Oscars.
Yeah, you very well could have.
Because I had heard, like, I think Beyonce and Jay-Z might be moving in here, but it sounds like the Minecraft guy.
Minecraft guy got it. And he was a very nice guy. I think he's Swedish or something. Totally nice guy. But there was some strange...
Would you like some splatter meatballs?
Yeah.
So they'd be cubes.
Verbatim. You were there.
He's Swedish. So I mashed those two things up.
And then
quickly.
He just went over to the kitchen counter and started punching thin air. And he started crafting meatballs.
And then a green guy came in and blew him up.
Yeah, but first he had to go to the netherworld to get the materials.
It's very... Yeah, and so he has to make torches and sticks.
Naturally.
Yeah.
And then a zombie exploded and the whole house
got
ruined.
For a kid to make a YouTube video of him listening to this part of the podcast and get a billion hits.
This is my Minecraft podcast listen through.
I do get it, though. I do get it.
I've played a little bit of Minecraft. You've played it?
Yes, no. I have. It's really fucking fun.
I like it. And I've I love to like it. And what got me okay with doing Twitch, actually, was watching on YouTube a series of these, the Yogg's Cast. They did a thing called Moon Quest. It's like a 140-part series of 15-minute videos where they're just like, we're going to get our friend Simon to the moon. And so they build the base, they build, get the resources, build the rocket ship, send him to the moon. It's a gas. These three guys are just having a blast, and we're along for the ride.
To the moon.
To the goddamn moon, you animals.
I wish, you know, the thing about Minecraft was that I wish there was an I wish it turned into, there was like a SimCity element to it, where once you could build everything, then you could actually start build a giant colony and run it and then attack
other
colonies.
I'm sure there's a mod that is that.
There must be.
That's one thing that I mean, because the vanilla Minecraft is like too big for me almost. I'm like, I just get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then there's mods that just make it almost anything.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's so huge. And I think why that guy has so much money is because he released it straight to him, pretty much. Like, there was no... Was there, like, a third-party developer or something? I think, like...
No, I don't think
most,
so.
Like, so if, you know, if 100 million people love the game, then that's just all that just to one guy.
Oh, yeah. I think there was some figure that it was...
Mojang is his company.
Yes.
A small company
for, like, billions. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
billions?
Billions. Yeah. Billions.
Billions?
Because I think there was something where it was like, oh, he makes like $1 million a day from Minecraft. I mean, it was some crazy number.
Well, he was very kind, and I appreciate you having me over at your home. Very beautiful.
I don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I don't have time for podcasts.
I'm not listening.
Bork, bork, bork. Just a parade of funny accents, all belonging to him.
This is very offensive.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's me, the main guy from Minecraft. As-salamu alaykum.
I need to go find some cubes.
Whatever.
Whatever, dude. I ain't got no time.
I ain't even listening to this blocky
shit.
Have you played
Minecraft?
I haven't.
Do you do any PC games? Pissing at computers?
I've Steam, but I have Steam for the Mac. So.
Okay. There's
a decent amount there, but
can
not...
you get Braid? For
yeah,
Mac?
You can. I'm getting
But you
yes
can get it also for 360. Do you have a 360?
I do. I have a 360.
Do you have a one?
No, I have a PS4.
Okay.
And a 3.
Okay.
I was able to, through a gaming archive, purchase and download one of my all-time favorite games, Zork the Grand Inquisitor, on the PC.
That's Zork 1?
No. Zork 1's really old. Zork the Grand Inquisitor was done in like 97, and there's a lot of cinematic scenes in it.
It got that FMV, that full motion video.
But there are actors in it. So like Michael McKean is the main voice, and Dirk Benedict is an
actor. Two names I don't know. What does these means?
Michael McKean.
So from?
Spinal Tap.
Okay, excellent.
You've seen Spinal Tap.
Yes.
He's on a show called Better Call Saul right now.
I just don't know names.
He was in Best in Show.
And Dirk Benedict was in the A-Team. He played Face.
Oh,
no, he was Face. I think Dirk Benedict was Face.
Yes. Okay. And George Peppard was not.
George Peppard was not Face.
Neither was Mr. T.
No, and Dwight
and neither
Schultz.
Neither was Dwight Schultz.
Right.
So that leads me to believe the National Treasure is in D.C., Washington.
And it's a face. One of our founding... It's Thomas Jefferson's face.
Face is the only guy whose name I didn't know until just now. My process of elimination.
You did it.
Well, you only know Dwight Schultz because he was on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Sure do.
That's why
TNG, they call it.
He was on TNG. He was on... Voyager for 4 episodes as well, playing the same character.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Thoughts on Voyager?
Not terrible. I liked it. I liked it to a point.
Are you the resident ST man?
I roll with ST.
Okay. ST at TNG?
STTNG. More than STTOS.
No, I'm into TOS.
The original series.
Okay.
Or Terms of Service.
Star Trek Terms
of Service. They have to go around the galaxy and they basically kick people off social media networks.
But you just like scroll through them and like sign it at the end.
It's very...
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah. It's abusive language. Okay, yeah, this is butt crack. We got to take that guy off in that system over there. So they got to fly over and take him off. So you started your Twitch channel. What is the what's your handle?
If you wanted to just see a bunch of nonsense for 2 hours, please tell potentially me 4 hours. Twitch. It's and so many people have said that, and I'm so dumb I didn't come up with it.
It's not too late.
Well, I know, but I just figured I'm going to keep it as middle ditch. It is middle ditch, just like my Twitter, so that way it's like all the same.
Cohesive branding. I like it.
But middle Twitch is perfect. But people can say that. People come up and they say, hey, it's middle Twitch. And I go, you better believe it. Now I can use it as a verb. I say, come middle Twitch with me, and there we go.
Love it. And so what is the is the goal with Twitch TV? Just to meet new people, have fun, make comedy videos on a new platform.
I think right now it's like just an outlet for like just me. It's just me playing video games, talking kind of to myself, which is kind of what I do anyways. I'm very loud when I play video games.
I might as well make no money doing this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's still just like me kind of trying it out. Sometimes I put on a webcam, but most times I just feel self-conscious and don't do that. And if any people do subscribe and, you know, or donate or put money, it all goes to, I'm giving it to the Sierra Club because I'm a big environmentalist and that's what's going to happen.
Nice. Twitching for the environment.
That ideally, that's what would happen is if it ever caught fire, I would be twitching for the environment.
Well, but if it caught fire...
then I'd burn this planet down.
Yeah. Whoa, wait, what?
Yeah.
The entire planet?
Sierra Club's in on it. You've heard of Big Oil. Try Big Green.
Oh, my God. They're impossible. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Limitless funding.
Is there anything in season 2 of Silicon Valley that you feel like... Did they try to top the dick joke at the end of season 1?
There are... It depends. I think I don't know if it really, because what was so great about that is that that came at the culmination of the whole series. So like, not only was it a hilarious joke, but it solved everyone's problems. There's a great last episode, but it doesn't. I don't think like if you're waiting for that dick joke to like wrap it all up, it may not happen. But there's like the last two are fucking awesome. However, throughout the series, there are some pretty good set piece jokes that
nice.
I think people will like it. And if you like dicks, keep watching.
I'm listening.
I said watch.
I'm not. I can't. I just want to listen. I'm a listener. I have to listen to dicks. I can't just watch them on a podcast.
Well, you'll have to wait. April 12th. I'm not at liberty to give away any gooses, but I can tell you April 12th is when it all begins.
One goose? Not one goose. Okay, there's a goose on the show. A goose moves into the house. There, I gave away. Anthony Edwards, as goose, moves into...
Yeah.
They have Goose's corpse all water bloated. Just like pulled him up in the water for 30 years.
Look what I found. It's Goose.
He's goopy.
Yeah. Like, well, there's no goose or geese. There's a monkey, and I think people will like that one.
Seriously, everyone's egos are probably at an all-time high, right? Like, it's probably really hard to walk on that set with that.
Oh, we own this town.
Have you been to any... parties in Silicon Valley? Someone must have sent you to Silicon Valley. Like, some company must have paid you guys to come in and be at their party. To be around.
Too crazy.
Oh, Kumail was telling me that when you guys went and did the MIT show in Boston, you guys like walked through like a bunch of programmers.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because at the same time. So we did I'll team up with Kumail and TJ. Sometimes we'll do colleges. I'm actually going to go tomorrow, I think, to Cincinnati. But anyway. We did our show, then we were walking around the campus, and then there was a hackathon.
Yeah.
And we popped our heads in there, and it was like a whole big cafeteria of just, I guess, people hacking. Just a classic MIT hackathon. And it's sort of like spread like a little bit of like wildfire. Suddenly heads started turning, and it was like, Silicon Valley.
And then you could hear all your phones going off. They had immediately hacked your phones.
Yes, exactly. we turned around, and our cars were all exploding outside.
Silicon Valley.
They put their fingers to their temples and blew up our brains.
Was it... did you feel pressure coming into season 2? Because the first season, I would imagine, it's like, oh, okay, well, I got on a show and it's fun, but I don't know if anyone's going to watch it. And then it kind of blows up. And then is there, do you feel pressure going into season 2, or is it even more fun because you kind of know that it's working?
I think I can't speak for all the actors, but for me, it's Dude. Less so. I think the on the acting side, there could be a little bit of pressure, and I just want to, as always, try to do the best job I can do. I think that definitely the pressure was felt by like the writers, Mike and Alec, who are running the show, and then just all the writers, because they're like, okay, we have to outdo ourselves, you know. They're the ones that are like truly creating, like, you know, in all the stories and all the jokes and stuff like that. So
every time I've seen Mike Judge at anything, he just seems so like he just has it figured out.
Oh yeah, he's chill as hell.
Yeah,
but Alec is less chill. he's got a dire streak in him. And a dire wolf. Paid $40,000 for it.
What?
Yeah, dude.
He paid $40,000 to have a dire wolf inserted into his body? That's yeah, crazy.
That he can activate at any time. Just by screaming, I have the power of Grayskull, which makes no sense.
Because he doesn't have the sword.
No. That's... And he's mixing up his references.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there wasn't a dire... I mean,
guys, hang on. $40,000 sounds like a steal.
To get a wolf.
I know deals, and that sounds like one.
You can tell me where I can get this. We can both make a lot of
Listen,
money.
Listen, guys, having a dire wolf in your body that you can activate at any time is a bargain at twice that price.
This is Steve Wynn.
This is Steve Wynn. We've had the finest dire wolves flown into every the room. Wynn Casino.
Oh, my God.
Dire wolves are at your beck and call.
I was just there this weekend. And
what, at casinos?
At the Wynn, yeah. And I just every second we were in the room, I would turn on the Steve Wynn's personal tour of the Wynn.
Yeah.
What is the Wynn?
It's the hotel next to
the Wynn and the
station.
Encore. It's the two fancy hotels built by the king of Las Vegas, Steve Wynn.
Yeah. He's a 73-year-old billionaire from Jersey.
So he's not a self-proclaimed king. He is the king.
He's basically
the king.
He built the Bellagio. I believe he built the Venetian as well, and then he built the Wynn and the Encore.
Huh.
So this guy, he just comes on and he just... Like, he talks, and it's like a 12-minute video, and I must have watched it 5 times.
But he's in all the, at least the last time I was there, he was in all the taxis. So every time you get in a taxi, it would start over.
I just love, like, he just.
That's so weird. That's like, that's like a RoboCop future or something.
Yes.
It's like the all-seer president is like in all these videos, like always in your face or something. That's like a weird.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Yeah. Dystopian weird.
If you want
world.
Italian food, we got this great little place. It's open till 4 or 5 in the morning. It's hopping. Do you like RoboCop?
Algeria.
Do you like RoboCop?
Come on down.
Zuz's Crackers. We had a guy named Charlie. Charlie's not with us anymore, but
because he loved keep his mouth shut.
He couldn't keep his fucking mouth shut, so we fed him to the sharks over at the Mirage. He basically...
If you want to sleep in a chandelier, have I got the hotel for you?
If you cause any trouble over here, remember that I could fucking bury you. He basically... He's a guy that it feels like there is a ball of rage in him, but he's constantly.
I don't even get that.
You don't think so? I feel like
I think he's Joe Pesci from Casino.
Well, I just feel like he's in all these videos and all these taxi announcements. He sounds like he's trying to contain this rage to sound like he's just this homespun guy. I'm just like you and. Any billionaire that you might be friends with.
You like big musical numbers from pictures and Broadway, have I got the show for you?
Yeah.
It's a lot of that.
It's a lot of that. And I desperately want to get him on this podcast. Like, I would love to have Steve Wynn interviewed. I would love it.
Maybe he knows Walking Dead.
Maybe he's into that. Does he watch At Midnight? Does he see our jokes on TV, you
Listen,
think?
I would I really like to ship Rick and Michonne. I think Rick Schoen would be fine.
But he just got the contract to build the first casino in Boston.
What?
Yeah, they're building a
They're
going
to let that place have gambling?
They're building a Wynn in Everett, yeah.
But I thought Boston is supposed to be with all the fancy universities.
Yeah, well, now you can drive 12 minutes to a Wynn.
Uh-huh. Now, what do you think that's going to do? Obviously, that's going to be good for the economy.
Yeah, it's going to be great for me when I go home.
But why do Bostonians need more reason to get drunk at all hours?
Well, it's fine. You know, the thing about it is, you know, you don't always want to take a drive down to Foxwoods. It's real far sometimes, you know? You don't want to spend 2 hours in the car driving to Connecticut.
You've got a B on your hat. You're a Bostonian?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have to yell.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. That's what it means. That's what this means.
Oh, Thomas, why? You got them all excited. Don't ask
me. You don't
about
tell me
bee.
What I gotta do.
All right. How did you get it? When did you get drunk, sir?
I just now. You said B. I gotta go for it.
Matt, calm down. Drink your pop.
Don't be such a quiet. I can't even say the words I want to say because I would have to cut it out.
You could say it one time.
No, it's okay.
Oh, my God. Gil Gates.
Have you seen Windows 8.1? Now he's trying to get a job in the wind show.
So we have constructed a show all about the programming of Windows 10.
Matt. Which one is the man, the bald man who says, I love this
Ballmer,
company?
Steve Ballmer.
What's he doing now?
He owns the Clippers.
Oh, the Clippers. He bought the Clippers.
And that's all he does? He's just a Clipper owner?
He takes money down. For Martin Starr for those season tickets every year.
Satya Nadella took over Microsoft and has apparently turned the company around and doing a lot of really smart things.
Ballmer's doing a lot of great things over there.
So, he's still working at Microsoft?
No.
He's not anymore. No. Okay. No, let's see what else happened. Steve Jobs stepped down.
So Microsoft, what are they doing? They're back into making Windows. Windows 10.
But they're getting rid of a lot of things.
They want you to meet Cortana.
She's basically like a more fun Siri.
Ooh, nasty. Is she filthy? Because Siri's a bit of a prude.
Siri is very much a prude.
Yeah, she won't tell me any nasty things I want to hear.
I don't appreciate that. All right, nunnery.
Ask Siri if she knows Cortana.
Oh, that's genius.
Oh, I don't. It could be nothing. Hang on.
No, it's fucking genius.
Siri, do you know Cortana?
I can't answer that.
Oh, for legal reasons.
Tight lip, bitch.
Try to ask her again. Ask her again.
Professor, do you know Windows Phone's person named Cortana?
Let me have a look.
Here's
what I found on the web for Windows Phone's person named Cortana.
Oh, but she's very passive aggressive.
Yeah, passing off the
phone. Here's what I found. Is this
Cortana.
What you want?
That's what she does. She just refers you to the internet.
Here, let's see if Siri. Let's see. Siri, do you like Windows?
Personally, I'm an Apple fan.
Oh! Sick bird, bro! Siri, where is Steve Jobs?
Thanks for asking about Steve. Here's Apple's webpage about him.
Aww. Yeah. That's so adorable.
Ethan, I think it's passing off the responsibility. I want to know your opinion, goddammit. What did he do to you?
Don't just direct me to another robot.
What legal trouble are you in, Siri?
Siri, what legal trouble are you in?
Let me check on that. Here's what I found on the web for what legal trouble are you in?
Will I be in legal
trouble? Well, you've
trouble
come to the right place.
Charges. Granny. Are you
I got a Samsung.
You're a Samsungian.
Yeah, Samsung S5.
You like the S5. The S5 is a good phone.
It's okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, like there are some things that this doesn't do that the Apple does, and then the iPhone does, and there's some things that this does that the iPhone
does. It's very challenging to migrate if you are. It's much harder to. Apple makes it very hard to leave.
Yes.
Because you have to get so many weird little third party workarounds if you want to pull your contacts and your calendars over.
But this one had an app that just sort of like pulled all the data from, and it was actually pretty seamless.
I like the Samsung. I had the Galaxy S4 for a while.
Yeah, and, I like the swipe typing.
Yes.
Very premium, very very exquisite, very foreign.
It's nice. You know, we can represent a lot of different opinions.
In the win, I watched this video.
For fuck's sake.
It's called
here we go again.
Have you heard of these phones called Vortox?
No.
What?
They're phones that cost $32,000. They're British handmade cell phones.
Handmade.
That run some weird OS.
Steam. They're steampunk.
Yes, they're
steam. Linux phones.
They're steam machines. And they're made of like, all the buttons are like rubies.
Fuck
like,
off.
You go to their website. You go to their website and it's like, these phones are popular in Russia, China, and the Middle East.
Yeah. Putin and some sheiks.
VOR. It's like, look for luxury English phone. It's made by, it was Nokia when they sold it. They have 350,000 customers.
Jesus. That's a spicy meatball.
That many people have 32 grand to spend on a...
Virtu, that's what it is.
Looking it up on the database. Bring us some sweet, hot, steamy pics. I want to see what I'm seeing.
Getting for $32,000?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know what? Oh, fuck all of you guys. Like, that's ridiculous. The phones don't even... What's the operating system like?
It's probably... Honestly, it's probably like Gingerbread Man.
Are you just naming cookies and candies after
Android
names? Yes.
Oh yeah, cookie.
Lifesavers.
Yeah. Probably ice cream.
Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, is it running? Yeah.
Of course there is.
Virtu for Bentley. That one's only 17, I think.
Don't you know what this is? What? It's a Virtu. I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Wait, why are you?
You can just.
Most people will never. There's nothing wrong with that.
I bet. Yeah. If it is. Well, yeah,
it's probably an older Android. Yeah,
it's got to be Android.
Yeah,
because Apple would never.
No, God,
do
no.
that.
No,
it's got to be Android.
No, they'd have to control. Yeah, they would. Although I don't know, we're not being too crazy, but they're making a $10,000 watch. Why wouldn't they make a $17,000 phone?
Well,
but it's not an Apple product.
Yeah, so they can't do it.
No, but why wouldn't Apple separately make like their own? Do you think they're dipping their toe into a super high end market?
Yes.
To see if there's a viability.
Yeah.
Because if 350,000 people would buy a Virtu, I would imagine more people would buy
A
premium Apple phone.
Yeah.
Premium Blend, Comedy Central.
Wow, that is reaching back. Did you do Premium Blend?
No.
I did Premium Blend.
Did you blend it up?
I did. I blended okay.
Yeah?
I blended okay. It was a 2001.
Chris, were you ever a shorty watching a shorty?
I was a shorty watching a shorty. They took one of my bits and turned it into a shorty watching shorties. Oh, and they did a good job visualizing it.
Very pleased.
Thank you.
You had some visualizations on the old mash-em-ups, too.
I did the mash-em-ups show as well, which was really fun.
Yeah.
That TJ Miller.
That Tee-wee Willers.
Tee-wee.
He's about to start or has just started shooting Deadpool.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He's Ryan Reynolds, sort of pal.
Well, let's keep giving him superhero movies.
Yes,
Ryan Reynolds gets to try again.
Yes,
he seems like a nice guy and all, but
maybe maybe it was directorial the past one.
Yeah,
what?
No.
No, he was only the Green Lantern.
He was Green Lantern, but he was also Deadpool in Wolverine, in the Wolverine origin story.
Oh, I never saw that one, I guess.
Yeah, he was also in Blade 3.
Well, Affleck's getting another stab after the success with Daredevil.
He is. That's true.
Is he still going to be Bitman?
He's still Bitman. Huh. Yeah, he's still
Bitman. I wonder what this new Bitman will be like.
Bitman and Superman will be...
Are they going off of the Dark Knight universe, or are they kind of creating another
one? It looks to me like it's just pillaging the Dark Knight Returns storyline for whatever it feels like doing.
That's the second one.
That is
with
the...
Heath.
No, I'm talking about the comic book.
Oh, me no. this is probably bad for this podcast, but I'm not into superheroes. I'm just not into superheroes.
Yeah. Well, it's widely regarded as the definitive Batman story. It's like years and years after he hung up the cowl. The Joker is, it's very 80s too. It's beautiful. The Joker comes back on television saying that he's cured.
Huh.
Batman
is
racing cars looking for a death wish. He's tired of not being Batman. Bruce Wayne's out there, and then all of a sudden the Joker is the Joker, and then Batman has to go clean the streets up because there's a new gang with Nazi titties. And Nazi titties.
The Tay-Tays are out?
Yeah, with swastikas on them.
Ooh, Titlers.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yes.
And it's the greatest Batman story ever told. It's fantastic. I highly recommend reading it in graphic novel form. It's out there, easy, real cheap.
We'll see. You don't seem sold.
Okay. Look, I got a lot of Total War to play.
DC did a very good animated movie of it that is really good. Maybe you check that out.
We'll see.
You could watch it on your Twitch channel, and then the whole time just be like, I don't get it.
Bruce Wayne / Peter Weller. That's who does the voice. Peter Weller does the voice of Batman in the new one.
He's one of them RoboCops.
He is the RoboCop. I mean, yes, he's one of them, because in the third one he was not him, and in the TV show he wasn't, but...
But he is the definitive RoboCop.
He is the definitive RoboCop.
Where did you grow up? Middle Ditch.
When?
And
when will you grow up,
when will
Thomas?
You grow up and where are you from?
I'm a Toys R Us kid, man. I don't want to grow up. I grew up in a small town called Nelson in British Columbia, Canada.
What?
Yeah, it's like in the mountains. If you ask, is it near Vancouver? I'm going to say no.
Is it near Vancouver?
No.
You told me you were going to say that, but I still thought maybe you would change your mind.
I just, for the first time in my life, after you said that Toys R Us thing, I just realized how okay I am with the fact that I did never won the $5,000 shopping spree for Toys R Us on Nickelodeon.
Well, I'm really glad you got over that.
You didn't win?
I never won it.
Dude, everybody won one of those.
What'd you do with your $5,000?
Dude, I bought toys. I bought so many fucking toys.
Like now as
I put
adult,
a down payment on a Virtu.
As an adult, just imagine what you would now be doing with all the $5,000 of toys you purchased.
Oh man, I would
just
have,
be junk.
I would have the definitive G.I. Joe collection. Those were my jam.
All the G.I. Joe.
Did you have the aircraft carrier?
Were you Transformers too, or just G.I. Joes?
Well, G.I. Joes, and then I had a few of them, but I really liked them, but I could never find any more of them. These toys called Cops and Crooks. They were kind of bigger. They were fairly articulated, but they were, you know, bigger. 6 inches maybe?
Oh wow.
Which is, you know,
that's a lot for a baby.
That's not small. I mean, 6 inches. I mean, that's average. That's like average.
It's very big.
I mean, it's like, you know, some say it's, you know, above average, depending on what statistics you go.
Yeah, statistically, it's slightly above average.
So then,
it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Nothing. It's fine. You know, and if you have, and there's more than that, then great. But, you know, it's just that. yes, but G.I. Joe's I liked. I didn't. The biggest thing I had was the Rolling Thunder, which was a big sort of like
missile
transport vehicle that it opened up in these two huge, like, I don't know, scuds.
Were you like, do you feel bad because you're like a Canadian kid collecting all these American heroes?
I never felt bad about that. In Canada, like everywhere else, we're all like, America is cool.
G.I. Gord.
Hey, it's me, Gordon, the Canadian G.I. Joe. Remember to clean up and put the litter in the trash bin. All right, guys, have a good one. See
Knowing
you on the ice.
Most of the battle.
Yeah.
I think a Canadian G.I. Joe cartoon spoof would be really funny if no one's done it yet.
G.I. Canadian.
You're not a hockey person?
I am now. It took me moving to Los Angeles to be a hockey
really?
Person. Yeah. I even got my Kings hat and everything.
Wow.
But yeah, well, because when I grew up, one, it was expected of me to like hockey. So there I go. No, counterculture Thomas. You know me. And then all the hockey players were the guys that would come to the party and like, what are you doing here, pussy? And it's,
oh,
like, it's
right.
My house.
Right. So, yeah, so what are you doing here?
Yeah, you're right. So they were like the classic American like football jocks that were mean. But
I completely understand.
But now that all that silly stuff is gone and I like got into the video game of NHL.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you don't know the rules of a sport game, of a sporty game, it's hard to get into it. But since like modern day sports games are like kind of like simulators, you figure out why stuff happens, and then lo and behold, I was starting to go to Kings games and loving it.
How did you guys meet? How did you guys meet each other? Because you're
Craig Rowan,
yeah. Got it.
The old C-Row.
C-Row, who wrote on the first season of At Midnight, and then went off to do an Adult Swim.
Currently
show.
Writing Jack and Triumph. He just did. He was the head writer on Night of Too Many Stars.
His first writing gig was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
That's correct. He was the head writer of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, I did know that, actually. Yeah, Craig's really funny, too.
Craig's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Did you guys write together?
No, I knew him through him. I knew him through UCB in New York City, and we were on like an improv team at one point.
Got it.
He was always a joy to perform with because he's so silly pants. He's really silly pants.
He's my favorite roommate I've ever had.
You miss him. You're crying.
For like a couple months.
Yeah, a few months of me and Craig just coming home from here every day, just talking about the show.
You're cruising for
poo. Poor Craig, though. I feel like the Craig end of the deal on that was like a foreign exchange student where you just pushed some guitars in the corner of the room and threw a mattress on the floor.
No, I moved actually all my guitars downstairs and gave them the upstairs bedroom.
Oh, you did?
What a gentleman.
I mean, I'm not a jerk.
He's your buddy, Craig. You got to take
Craig's
care of
the best.
Him.
Old C-Row.
See him every time I go to New York.
Hey.
He never gets
out
here.
Is he out there now? He went back out there. Yeah. Oh, that's why he. That's why he didn't become your roommate anymore. That's one way.
And
to
also,
say
Matt's
move out.
Getting married to a lady,
and Craig's married to Meryl, and it's a whole thing.
It
would never.
The wives were against it. Can Matt and I live together? No, because you're a grown-up.
Yeah, no permanent roomies. No more.
When did you come out to Los Angeles? So you did at UCB New York.
Yeah, I went. Well, look, I'll tell you.
Walk us through it.
You know, you go to BC, you do a little 4-month stint in Australia, just cruising the waves, living your life.
Sure.
Then you go to University of Victoria on Vancouver Island for a couple years. Then you say, screw this theater school, I'm going to do comedy just like the kids in the halls. And then you go to the Torontos in Ontario for a little bit. And then you go to Chicago, and then you go to New York, and then you go to Los Angeles.
Nice.
You bing bong, bing bang, bong, bop. Bip.
That is a bing bang bing bong bing bang bip. Like that, the way that you went around, that is exactly what that would sound like.
Hell yeah.
So you joined UCB in New York. Did you do Second City in Chicago?
I did Second Sillies in Chicago. I did not get accepted in the Second Sillies Conservatory in Toronto. Yeah, so what the fuck is up now?
Yeah, suck it, Toronto. Now you can get your honor.
I hope you listen to this podcast.
Yo, Toronto, you listen to this podcast as a city? Together? They're broadcasting it from the CN Tower. And everyone's like, why did we fuck over Middleditch that way?
We'll never get him back.
He deserves so much better. Are you a citizen now? Did you get your citizenship, or are you still working?
No. I am engaged to one of your finest American women.
Nice.
And
that'll get you right in.
That'll get me right in, I think, at one point.
Sexually transmitted citizenship.
Yeah. No, I just got visas in my name. Click, chick, chum, boom, boom.
Nice.
How's the song go? Visas in my name.
Did they audition all of you guys together, or did they? I mean,
For Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they...
It's just coincidental that everyone kind of knows each other.
It is a bit coincidental because Mike and John Altschuler and Dave Krinsky, who like created it, didn't really clue into the fact that we were all buddies. They knew maybe we were friends, but it wasn't like their master plan to get us all together. At one point when they were writing it, John was saying, hey, we got this show for HBO and we really think you're right for the lead. I'm like, yeah, right. But then, you know, I ended up auditioning for it, and then, you know, it was looking like, you know, I was the guy. Then at one point I read with Josh Brenner, who's on the show, and I read with TJ Miller, who's obviously on the show.
And that was it?
That was it.
That's a really easy audition process.
I mean, it was in front of the HBO cats. So it wasn't you know how they sometimes do it. When you test, should I explain?
Just some meowing executives. Like actual HBO cats. Interview in front of the cats.
You got the part. Just let's see how the cats feel about you.
Oh, the cats are not. They're not even looking.
Oh, God damn it.
It's not your fault. There was a pigeon.
Why didn't I wear my cat knit soup? I said cat knit soup.
Yeah, you sure did. And I was letting it go.
You know, why didn't I wear my cat knit soup?
What Prince would have done was say cat knit soup again to make it seem like he meant to do it.
Yeah, well, I don't play like that.
Okay,
I think that's actually really offensive.
Okay, well, I don't know why.
Gil, calm down.
I actually think Prince is really offensive.
Gil Gates hates Prince.
That's cool that he's doing that, but that's just like, that rubs me the wrong way.
Now there has to be a character on Silicon Valley called Gil Gates who...
No, there doesn't.
I really think there does.
Nothing about this says that there has to be.
It 100% must happen.
Hello, President of Hollywood.
Yes.
Put an old Gil Gates on Silicon Valley.
We get to play him, Thomas.
Yeah.
Put him in a fat suit. Put him in a fat suit.
We just put a line down the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Naturally separating the two.
Green screen. Never heard of it. I'm the President of Hollywood.
Richard Nixon. Let me ask you.
He's just doing Neil Hamburger.
It was in the news. Why?
Why did
a known rapist, Sammy Davis Jr., drink a plate full of his own cum? Because he was horny. Yeah, it was in the news.
Why did Robert Redford stick his cock in a jar of Newman's Own spaghetti sauce?
Why?
They've been friends for years. He would never stick his cock in a competitor's brand.
It was in the news.
There was I do this cartoon for Nickelodeon, and there was a voice in the show that wasn't one of the regular cast, and I go, who is doing that voice? It's really great. And they're like, oh, it's great. It's the guy who does Neil Hamburger. But it, and it sounded nothing. It was a very high pitched, weird, almost Bud Cort kind of a sound.
Yeah, I've never met him, but from what I understand, you're like, you get to talk to him, you're like, oh, you're 0% like that guy
at all.
Just like, kind of like a nice dude.
And if you saw him in public, you would never, ever, ever know. Like, he looks nothing like when he's in character at all.
I love that.
It's Kumail. It's Kumail Nanjiani.
It's Kumail Nanjiani. Is
wow.
Neil Hamburger.
Because when you talk to Kumail, he can't break his Pakistani accent.
No.
He's like the worst at accents.
He is.
Huh. But I guess he puts on that wig and blanches his skin.
It just takes the process. He has to actually become Neil for 3 months at a time.
That's why you haven't seen him lately when you guys are doing something. Yeah, and there you go.
That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, don't ask him about it though. It gets him very upset. Like,
okay, I will call him or ask him about
it. No, he doesn't like to, you know. But Emily on the side, if you ask Emily, she'll be like, yeah.
"Hey, Em, is Kumail secretly Neil Hamburger?"
Oh, yeah.
Shh, 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 oh, shh, 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 shh.
He might hear you. Are you doing the Meltdown show?
Emily impression.
Yeah, that was great.
He might hear you.
Like she's
oh,
fucking...
good heavens, Christopher. He might hear you.
Margaret.
Nothing, Kumail. Just talking about the state capitals. Oh, yes. No. Anyway, Montpelier really is a lovely state capital. I don't know why I've turned her into an old lady now.
Yeah, well,
she's morphed.
She's morphed.
Into something entirely different.
Morphums.
What do you want to... a bad knockoff of the Power Rangers?
Yeah. Watch Morphums on Kids
Zone. The Power Rangers.
That's what they had in Canada.
Morphums. Yeah, we had Morphums.
So, we better take down these Zorns.
Oh, look. There's another one.
They had up there was Morphums and Kenny and Spenny.
And the Red Green Show.
Oh, right. Yeah. And Chip and Joanne. No, not Chip and Joanne. Never mind.
SCTV?
It's SCTV. Canadian. Sure. Kids in the Halls.
Kids in the Halls.
I like pluralizing things.
I agree.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then that's it. You can't do that on television?
Yes. Yeah. Moose.
Moose. Well, and then Degrassi.
Of course. What's odd is if you grew up with You Can't Do That on Television, you look them all up now, it freaks you out because they're fucking grown-ass people.
They're grown-ass people. Alanis was on there.
Alanis was on there, too. Yeah, I remember.
I had such a crush on her.
You ought to know.
Why wouldn't you?
Ugh. Ugh. She's a national icon.
She,
Celine Dion,
I remember when
Gretzky.
She first... I was working at... I was working at K-Rock in the 90s, and she came on like right when when all that Jagged Little Pill thing broke, and someone called in, and they go, I heard you on You Can't Do That on Television. She goes, yeah. They go, what was your character? And she goes, I played Alanis, because they all basically played themselves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As kids. Did you want to be on You Can't Do That on Television?
Yeah, that would have been so awesome. I didn't know at that time that I wanted to be, you know, an act-em-up boy, but that looked like a lot of fun. I mean, they get slimed.
They're coming in and out of lockers, telling jokes.
Yeah, they do like kid jokes, like zingers. It was fun.
That really Barth guy was blowing snot on their burgers.
Yeah, they were all. Burger. I'm sure they were all snorting coke. I mean, this is back. This is back in the 90s, man.
Alistair was so fucked up.
Oh man, everybody's fucking doing rails. Rails and shooting shit.
It is amazing how Nickelodeon has really figured out, like,
the introduction to the opposites.
It's gotten even more like Sanjay and Craig is this cartoon, and there are so many fart jokes and puke jokes and snot jokes that they've really figured out like what 11-year-old boys
That's
want.
Definitely having done I'm doing some voiceover stuff lately, and I've done a small portion of something for Nickelodeon. That's what they like. They like farts, craziness, like in snots and boogers and stuff like that. And I have been doing something for Disney XD, Pen Zero, part-time hero. Check it out if you have kids. And it's much less. It's like just like adventures and cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that the voice?
Kinda. It's more like this. It's just this. Kinda.
Adventures
much.
And cool stuff.
Hey, adventures and cool stuff. Relax.
Oh, wow. That's sort of weird.
Yeah, I tell kids to relax.
Calm down.
Hey, calm down. Don't get too excited.
You're upsetting your parents.
It's 22 minutes, though.
Of that.
Of that.
What are you going to do with your life, kid? What are you going to do? Like, seriously.
Think about it. But it's delivered through a talking turd.
That's...
Nick at Night.
I don't...
What?
Nick at Night is just a talking turd now?
I don't know. I'm referencing shit I barely comprehend. I'm just, like, saying things. Yeah, Nick at Night. That's, like, reruns of Fresh Prince. What are you talking about?
Are you guys... Is there... A lot of riffing on Silicon Valley, or is
there? We do some riffing and raffing.
Is there riffing and raffing?
We are fortunate enough to have some really great scripts, so we do get that. And then riffing and raffing is just to add a little bit of pepper or a little bit of like little some little moments here and there. But I mean, the scripts are pretty well crafted, and we kind of like keep. And also, there's also like a ton of like tech jargon that that many people have to say.
Would you be happy if you were on this show for like 8 years?
I'd be okay with that. I mean, I love HBO. I don't think. I mean, by eight. 8 years, I'll be...
It's not... It's possible.
I guess... I mean, I always look at... And maybe they'll figure out how this doesn't happen, but I always see it like if Richard gets his billions, the show might be over. But maybe there is another life, you know, when he is in the tycoon slot.
Yeah, you could buy a house from Beyonce and then...
Yeah. Throw, I mean, well, there's you know, so mo many, money, mo problems. You
well,
know
not only is. That, but you could lose the money and you could... I mean, like there are things that could happen...
Definitely. I just don't know if, like, if, you know, we'll all be older by then if it kind of, like, works.
Yeah. But by that point, people will be into the characters, and so it doesn't really matter what they do with you guys. People will just want to see you as those characters interacting.
Maybe. I mean, hey, look, no complaints. I hope that this leads to, you know, a crossover. Not a crossover, but like, you know, how HBO uses like actors from other series. If I can get just a small spot on the old Game of Thrones and I can say, who do you think you are, Jon Snow? If I can be a wildling, well, look here, it's a crow. Just like that.
Do you want me to eat your face?
Would you like to fuck me, Jon Snow? Like that. Do that thing with your tongue again.
But you're just quoting what's her name?
Yeah.
Like, this, why would you want to be that?
Yeah, but I'm like, but a me, you know.
Okay, so you're Thomas. By the way, yeah, the name Thomas Middleditch sounds like you could be in Game of Thrones. I am Thomas of House Middleditch.
Yes, representative of Carth.
Are you going to fuck me like that, Jon Snow?
That's weird.
Yeah. Would you like to fuck me, Jonathan Snow? Would you like to fuck me, Jon Snow?
It was almost Inspector Gadget. Would you like to fuck me, Jon Snow? Fuck me. Would you like to fuck me, Jon? So I thought you were gonna say you wanted some sort of a mashup with like Dream On or
Dream On. See, we had my parents got cable, like paid cable back in the day, but we didn't get like HBO. We got something called Super Channel. And then Super Channel would buy shows. Like, so we would get Dream On through Super Channel.
Oh.
And other HBO shows. And Dream On, you know, I was like a you know, boy when that was going. And boy, you could see the jugs. You could, sorry.
Yeah. He was apologizing to Kyle.
And that was always very exciting. But I gathered, but it wasn't supposed to be a very like sexy show. It was supposed to be just like a comedy.
Yeah.
A comedy with a neurotic lead. But it just, for me, it was just like, oh, I think I caught a glimpse.
I've gotten in so many debates with my friend April Richardson about Game of Thrones because she cannot stand any kind of medieval storylines on anything. I'm like, but this, it doesn't, it's just a setting. By the way,
I agree with her.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's why I don't
enjoy. This is spoken.
This is why, that's why Camille and I argue constantly about Lord of the Rings.
But this is a classic. You're speaking from a classic STTNG type of point of view.
Now, what about if on Star Trek they went down to a medieval planet?
That's happened, Chris.
And?
Let's take a look.
And
I brought a clip.
Hey, oh, yeah, there it is. It's funny, all this time I never noticed that monitor right there that you could just call up by using your voice.
He's in my brain.
seeing it.
I'm seeing it. See, I'll tell you. I think I'll give like the Lord of the Rings movies like, you know, like a B plus, A minus. And I like fantasy. I play me Dungeons and Dragons and I play me GURPS. It's like an more intense version of Dungeons and Dragons. But Game of Thrones is like, it's everything. Because it's like, first of all, it's low fantasy. There's a difference between low fantasy and high fantasy. High fantasy is like elves, orcs, dragons.
Yeah, there's not a lot of hocus pocus on it.
Yeah, and all, but there is an element of it with like dark arts and like there are three dragons. But like in this, three dragons are like game changers. They're like the bringer of apocalypse. So the world is right for me. Plus, total blood, total gore, total swearing, total TNA.
Yeah.
It's rock and roll, baby.
I do kind of wish there was more wizard
TNA?
Shit.
Oh.
No, keep it small.
I just want some
No,
spellcasting.
No, you're ruining it.
Thomas, you are going to take this spell casting. You're going to ruin your room.
No.
God damn it, Thomas. As long as you live in this house, you're going to endure spell casting.
No.
That's not Thomas. That's Gil Gates.
Hi.
Gil Gates.
It's hard to catch a cab in Brooklyn. That's why I'm in Queens. You've been gilled. Love ya. Toodles.
Dude, we got gilled. Oh, thanks, Gil. You're the best.
Love you too, baby.
Hey. Your RoboCop casino's great.
Have fun. The tab's on me.
And then he just leaves a can of Tab.
What a cheapskate.
To be fair, this is really hard to find.
Oh, that Gil did it again.
Girl, one of these days I'll pin those murders on him.
Just have to get him aware of this microphone in the bathroom.
Yeah, leaves his recorder on. Well, they caught you.
Killed them all, of course. That was fun.
Shouldn't have done it.
That was fun.
Fun stuff.
I think that was a very nice inaugural appearance on the Nerdist podcast for you, Thomas Middleditch.
Pleasure to be here.
Who I always enjoy seeing out at various functions.
Well, it's about time you brought me on your stinky little show.
You're not wrong. You know, I always feel very relieved when I'm in an entertainment-style party and I don't feel comfortable and I see a comedy person like yourself that I immediately am like, you're here too.
Yes,
please,
let's talk.
Please, come. Yes. It's nice. It's very difficult to relate to people.
100%. Yeah. This last
That's
time.
That's why we're in this business.
Very surreally was at some, you know, fancy, like, I don't know why the hell I'm there, but like a pre-Oscar kind of thing. And it was so, you know, over there is Channing Tatum and he's being fancy and all these other people. So it's not like you can go talk to them because you can be like, hi, I'm Thomas. I'm on this show. Like, let's be friends. Like, that's not going to happen. So you just sort
of. Get out!
You just sort of like walk around and sort of like look at people. And this is how surreal of a world it is. Because I did this show, Improvised Shakespeare, with him. Patrick Stewart came up to me and was like, oh, thank God you're here. Like, let's hang out because I don't know anyone here. I'm like, of course. Yeah, that's
right. Matt, the look on Matt's face.
That's right. I'm dear old friends with old Peace Stew.
Let's look at the tape.
Let me just take a look at that.
Yeah, here we go. There's
that's terrific.
Yeah, might have been weird, like name dropping. That wasn't meant to.
No, that was a great.
I kind of wanted to just impress
Matt just
you.
Got a boner.
Thank you.
He's an incredibly nice man.
I would love to have him on the podcast.
He's been on the podcast.
I know, but that was just you.
Yeah, that was just me.
And he's got a great body.
Yep.
Yeah, looks you know, the same. In First Contact, when he's swinging on those tubes in engineering. Those are some nice biceps.
Matt, take off that microfiber shirt of yours.
Oh.
Let's get it wet.
Aye, Captain. Engage.
I still love that there was a few years ago, maybe more, there was like a link that you could get to that it would get this video. And it was, I think, just a video that would play. And it's Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise. And it's like some
Domok Angelad at Tanagra.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the one where he's singing the alphabet song.
No, it's just some like.
It's the Captain Picard song. It goes doot, 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 doot.
Yeah. It's great. Look it up. Right now. Well, you guys don't have to. I'm telling your listeners.
Well, we're going to make it easy.
Hang
for
on.
Them.
It's by.
It's very funny.
First duty of every Starfleet officer is to the truth. Scientific truth or historical truth or personal truth. It is the guiding principle on which Starfleet is based. Now, you can't find it within yourself to stand up and tell the truth. You don't do.
deserve to wear that uniform.
Time to ramble on about something everyone knows. Just kept talking in one long, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic, just that no one had the chance to interrupt.
That's from Timescape, the episode I told LeVar to watch.
That's amazing.
That's I know every episode that every single clip of that comes from. It's quite sad.
Oh, wow.
And you dare to shit on fantasy?
No, I didn't shit on it. I just said I didn't like it.
Oh, you
I
did. Didn't you say always it was said, bad. Yo, you hate it.
Yeah, I hate it. Okay, how is that shitting on it?
Well, I guess that's not.
I'm not like
you're allowed
that
to have an opinion.
No, it's an opinion. You're
I'm
right.
Saying
it's
that
an
I
opinion.
Don't like it.
As a as an ST guy, do you like the SW?
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, great.
All right, we all agree then.
Yeah, we're all cool.
All right, enjoy your burrito.
All right,
good to go. Enjoy your burrito.
The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.